Part of scripture that shall be the basis of our brief meditation is taken from the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, beginning at the first verse. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony and witness about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and in fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. In Jesus' name, when the Apostle Paul came to the Christians, or the people at first at Corinth, he was determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This theme was not only the heart of his message, but also it dominated his message. It controlled how Paul said it and what he said in that message. This theme, Christ crucified, was to Paul the whole of Scripture as well as its center. And every teaching, every text, every word of Scripture found its meaning in this overriding theme, and also found its purpose for being proclaimed. And therefore, when he says, I am determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and crucified, he meant just that. But all of Scripture was included because that was the key thought that interpreted all of Scripture for him. But now we could well ask, why was he so determined to interpret Scripture this way? Why was he so determined to know nothing except Christ and Him crucified? Very simply and beautifully, because Paul knew that Jesus was alive. Christ's resurrection was to Paul the confirmation of this beautiful truth that there was no way to heaven, no possible way to heaven, to the very presence of God except through Christ Jesus. The resurrection was confirmation to Paul also that that death was a victory. But also, it was an indication to him, and then a powerful determination and confirmation that all of Scripture rose or fell with Christ, that there could be no Scripture unless it was used by this theme, Christ crucified. And so when he approached the task of proclaiming this message to others, he approached it with an awful fear and awe and wonder, weakness, and leaning upon the Holy Spirit. Because he was terribly fearful of letting anything, whether it be his own knowledge, whether it be his own style and eloquence, whether it be his own logic or way of thinking, or whether it be his own knowledge of doctrine, that he'd not let anything detract from the theme, certainly not deny it, but not to detract it, or to leave it somewhat dim or confused in the ears and hearts of people as he proclaimed this message. Because he had a fear that after he was finished, his hearers would begin to rely their faith upon human wisdom and not alone upon the power of God. Therefore, he was determined by all that God could give to him and by marshaling everything under that power of the Spirit, that this theme of Scripture would dominate and determine everything he said and did, and that everything he said and did, and thinking in particular of his teaching and preaching, that it would be for the purpose of enhancing, explaining, bringing forth, glorifying this central theme, Christ and Him crucified. Now, brothers, we were reminded yesterday evening on a beautiful occasion of the end product of our being at this seminary, whether we're teachers or learners. And just think, two-thirds of us within a very short time are going to go out into the world to proclaim the message. That doesn't mean that the rest of us who are going to stay here will not be involved in that message, because we also will be proclaiming it. But when you had such an event last night, it really comes home to you of the awesomeness, whether we stay here or go someplace else by God's call, the awesomeness and the seriousness as well as the joy and beauty of proclaiming this message. And we ought to stand every time that we do it before God in fear and trembling, and also then in thanksgiving in reliance upon the Holy Spirit. Because the temptation is very near to us to not let Christ and Him crucified, that theme, dominate our message, right at the seminary as elsewhere. How often aren't we tempted to let our learning, not in a conscious temptation, I hope ever not, but how often aren't we tempted to let our learning be the determining motive of what we say, or the controlling factor of what we say, and even our style, our method of preaching, or our style of writing can begin to dominate the message. When we are so careful about the correctness of style and language that it becomes the master, rather than being that zeal for correctness, rather than being a servant to help us all the more clearly and concisely to proclaim Christ and Him crucified. But perhaps even more a danger is that we can begin to proclaim any part of Scripture unrelated to this central theme, Christ and Him crucified. As if we could take a text from the Old Testament and be it about faith, be it about Abraham, be it about creation, and we do not let Christ and Him crucified be the controlling purpose of that text. Rather, that we let the doctrine of the text be the controlling factor and not the theme, we are in grave danger of doing what Paul is afraid of detracting or taking away from this central theme, when all the while every word in Scripture is there to help us to boldly and to forthrightly bring out Christ and Him crucified. I say this danger is very real, and it's real, it's also real in this pulpit here, and I'm guilty as anyone else. And oftentimes, we're the last people to see this temptation. To the extent that we don't let this simple theme dominate everything we say and do, every textual study and every product of it, we are encouraging our hearers to rest their faith upon the wisdom of man. And brothers, when that happens, it's tragic. It brings death. But if we're determined like Paul was, and God help us to be so, that we're going to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified, that theme controls everything we say and do, that it controls our knowledge, that it dominates our style, that it determines how we're going to use any particular doctrine, then our hearers will rest their faith upon the power of God. Now we can think of the power of God in this context as the Holy Spirit. That is, as we have this theme to determine and dominate and control our message, the Holy Spirit is all the more able to use our message to touch the hearts of people in such a way that He becomes the persuasive power and not our own wisdom or words. Or we can think of the power of God, upon which we want our hearers to rest their faith, as being Jesus Christ Himself. Because Paul, in his first chapter of the same epistle, in the 24th verse, he speaks of how Jesus Christ is the power of God. When we let this theme determine our message and control it, then our hearers will be drawn to Jesus Christ and not to us. And after the message is finished, they may remember nothing about us at all, and hopefully they won't, but they will remember Jesus Christ. Or we can think of the power upon which we want our hearers to rest their faith as being the gospel, And Paul, you remember in Romans 1, so speaks of it, that the gospel is the power of God because through it, by God's grace, he gives to us the gift of the righteousness of God. This because any tooth to ooh. Now, if this theme is dominating our message, again, the gospel will so come through to our hearers as the Spirit touches them by his power, directs them to Jesus Christ only to look and his victory. They will then rest their hope entirely upon the righteousness of God, which Christ has gained for all of us by his beautiful life and death, and never upon their own. And need one to say how important it is that we rest only on the power of God, because there is no other power that can touch us, that can heal us, that can take away our tears, that can assure us of sins forgiven when our conscience is lacerating our mind. There's no other power that can lift us up out of despair, that so can motivate us to sacrifice and live joyfully. There's no other power that can so help us to conquer any obstacle, even unto death, to proclaim this word to others. There is no other power. And everything else in this world falls into insignificance in face of this power. And all that we want to do, by the mercy of God, is to proclaim the message of God in such a way that this power comes through that message and grips and holds and comforts and saves and inspires and keeps faithful unto the end of their lives as well as their own. So then may God grant us that everything we say be controlled and determined by this central theme of Scripture, which is Scripture itself, Christ and him crucified. No other message is worthy of a risen, victorious faith. In his name, amen.